tuned in to the Community Cats Podcast. Ready? Let's go.
Welcome to the Community Cats Podcast. I am your host, Stacey LeBaron. I've been involved helping homeless cats for over 20 years with the Merrimack River Feline Rescue Society. The goal of this podcast is to expose you to amazing people who are improving the lives of cats. I hope these interviews will help you learn how you can turn your passion for cats into action. And today we are speaking with Morgan Holquist and Dan Capone. Starting as early as 1984, local Meals on Wheels programs have taken an innovative approach by bridging human services and animal welfare to ease the challenges of pet ownership for older adults. What started out as small programs have grown to be robust and multifaceted programs encompassing an array of services, including pet food and supply deliveries, access to veterinary care, and much more. Meals on Wheels America deepens national impact and builds local capacity through innovative grant making, developing practice-informed resources, peer learning, and research. Morgan is the Strategy and Impact Senior Manager at Meals on Wheels America and supports the expansion of pet programming nationally and the Meals on Wheels Loves Pets grant program. Morgan has two cats, Oscar and Ollie. Dan is the Executive Director at Meals on Wheels South Texas and has been in the role since 2016. At Meals on Wheels South Texas, he has worked to increase program efficiency and effectiveness. Meals on Wheels South Texas has been a grant recipient of Meals on Wheels Loves Pets since 2022. Morgan, I'd like to welcome you to the show.
Thank you. Appreciate you having us. We've been really excited about this for a while.
Me too. I love Meals on Wheels. There you go. I love Meals on Wheels. I shout that out. Morgan, before we go over to Dan, why are you passionate about cats?
That's a great question. I actually have to admit, I was a dog person up until about 3 years ago. I wanted a dog of my own. It was a huge goal of mine. And then my partner and I decided to get a pet, but we were traveling a lot. So we decided that a cat would be a little bit easier to have. And we got a cat, and that kind of changed everything, as I'm sure you can imagine. And I have since shifted to, I guess, what would be a modern definition of a cat person. I love all animals and all pets, but yeah, love our cat, love him so much. We got a second one. So just kind of learned that way and have just been passionate about making sure that pets have access to care and all of the things that come as part of pet ownership.
And Dan, tell me, what's your experience with cats?
I've kind of had the flip side of Morgan. So I have had cats in my life since I was a little kid and always had a cat and everything, and got my first dog in my 50s. So sort of that flip or reversal, cats have just always been kind of a part of our life and constant companions.
Yeah. Well, so I'm going to share a little bit with you, ask you a few questions, Dan. You know, going from on the ground close to your programs, you have Meals on Wheels clients. And for those folks that aren't aware of what Meals on Wheels is, maybe share a bit about that and then share what your experience has been with clients and their pets.
Sure. So Meals on Wheels, for people that don't know, are primarily meals organizations serving a combination of both delivered meals for homebound seniors, and then also, you know, many of us have congregate feeding sites where we have a program, a cafe where people can come and eat lunch. And that's sort of the main focus of our programming. With COVID, you know, a lot of focus on social isolation and programming to help seniors combat social isolation came around. And as part of that, we got into supporting our clients' ability to maintain their companion animals, both through food and through vet care, and being able to offer both of those to help for people that are often, you know, where our meal delivery driver may be the only person that they see in a day in their week. Their pet is, you know, a constant in their life. And we had clients that were, A, feeding their food to their pets. And then also, as we got into this, started seeing clients that weren't getting the care that they needed because they wanted to make sure that their pets were taken care of. And so that just sort of expanded into the vet care and then also into some help with boarding and emergent situations and that sort of thing. So,
right. Yeah. We were talking a little bit before hitting the recording button about how many of the clients that you, not many, but some of them that you have seen, you know, they weren't getting their own personal health care tended to because they were afraid that they would be leaving their pet behind and they didn't have the support that they needed for their pet. And I've had significant experience with bridge program and boarding and that kind of thing and the challenges around that, but how critically important it is that folks realize that there's a safety net out there for their pets. And, you know, at this point, I'm going to turn it over to Morgan because the national program was at the heart of the creation of this program. You said it started several years ago. And I just wanted to find out more about the history of Meals on Wheels and the national interest with regards to supporting pets. And what does this grant program really look like?
Great question. I think Dan set this up really well in talking about kind of what is often seen at the national level, and that is, one, the importance of services to support social connection, reducing isolation and loneliness, and pets is, of course, key to that. You know, I think across probably nearly every state, this has been seen where meals are being delivered and volunteers and staff are saying that, yes, these human meals were often being fed completely or shared with pets, and there was an issue and a need for pet food, which of course has grown into so many other services, as you mentioned, emergency boarding, access to veterinary care. And I think what started at an organic level was really something that kind of grew and continued to grow. And our organization, Meals on Wheels America, supporting this national network, wanted to ensure that this is a strategy to really reduce isolation was something that was so important. And so we built Meals on Wheels Loves Pets, which is a grant program. We've been so fortunate to partner with PetSmart Charities. We are in our fifth year of partnership, and they've helped really grow and expand this grant program to, one, provide grants to new pet programs, programs who haven't necessarily provided these services before, but really wanted to set the foundation for a strong program. And then also for Meals on Wheels providers who have been doing this for a long time. Yes, we've been providing pet food for 5 years, but maybe they wanted to provide access to veterinary care services. So really start to make sure that the pets they were serving were getting preventative care as well. The grant program is intended to cover all of that. But through the partnership too, we've also been able to conduct national research, create some really wonderful resources for programs to use across the country, and then also support storytelling efforts just to make sure that the stories and the impact of this programming was well heard and that people were aware of it. We've definitely been trying to do a lot, but I know that there's always more to do. So we're still working on that.
I mean, I'm a huge fan of utilizing existing delivery systems to help support families. You know, a person bringing those meals to the household, that there's a relationship that's been developed, a trusting relationship, where if you have a shelter with a pet pantry program and they start doing deliveries, yeah, it introduced another person. You have to develop that trust. There's duplication of efforts. There's questions. You might have different answers. And it's also, it's very costly. One concern I have heard over the years in my work with the group Positive Pantry that I'm also president of, Morgan, I'm going to ask you this question, was, oh, Meals on Wheels, we could never do that because our volunteers don't want to like schlep the pet food around, the weight of the pet food. How have you worked around that issue?
There have been many solutions to that. I think one that we've seen as really successful has been kind of in developing partnerships with animal welfare organizations. So maybe there are drivers who don't have room in their delivery trucks to take pet food or can't carry everything, which is super understandable. I know many programs have taken their pet food and put them on separate routes. They might have Meals on Wheels volunteers that just deliver pet food, and that's kind of their key focus. And then if that's not an option, they will also talk to animal welfare organizations who do have those volunteers and who can even sometimes take over those routes themselves. So what's awesome about this type of programming is that there have been so many different solutions that have been developed, and kind of being able to connect problems with solutions based on what folks have tried is probably one of my favorite parts of this role. But there are solutions that have already been done, so no need to reinvent the wheel by any means there.
Dan, did you run into this issue at all?
Yeah, I was going to say that's what we've been able to do, because we've been able to access a whole other pool of volunteers, because our meal deliveries happen in the mornings and early afternoon, and pet food is shelf stable. People can pick it up and then deliver it as they can. So in the evenings or on the weekends. And so it's, we've been able to access a whole other, you know, sort of set of volunteers that want to do something, but that can't participate in the meal delivery side of things.
In general, the human meals and the pet meals are sometimes delivered together and sometimes not delivered together. Is that right, Dan?
Yes. So that's, it depends on which route and which different communities that we're delivering in. And so some of them are separate and some of them are together. And it really depends, A, on the availability of volunteers and what they want to do. I hate to turn a volunteer away. And so when there's somebody that wants to do that, and, you know, pet people are also not always human people. And so there's some people that really want to help get that food out to the pets and be able to visit with the animals. And so it's just sort of a win-win.
Being in Texas, and we're up here in Vermont, so we have blizzards. A couple of years ago, we did blizzard packs. Do you do those kinds of preparation packs?
So we just had hurricane season,
right,
which we are in the midst of. So yes, we do a sort of beginning of the hurricane season, get food for like a week out to keep on hand in the case of a situation. And so we do that with human and pet food just to kind of get that out there. So there's something in the event that deliveries are held up for a week or so.
Dan, do you have any idea what's the percentage of clients that actually have pets?
So I'm just looking here at the, we served 136 clients in the past 12 months, and we have on average right about 300 clients. So that's whatever that percentage is, a little more, close to half, between a third and a half, that have pets that wanted service. There's some people that are particularly picky about what they feed their pet, and so they don't want the free food because it's not a guaranteed consistent source. It's sort of based on availability. And then we have other clients that just, you know, don't really need the assistance. Our assistance is not an economic, based on economic need. It's based pretty much on mobility and ability to get around and do the things that they need to do. So some people have the resources and don't really want the extra assistance.
I know I run into this all the time with Positive Pantry. I'll get emails and phone calls from people. They do need assistance, but, you know, they've got diabetic cats or kidney failure cats, or we'll throw up anything that isn't lamb and rice. And it's a hard call because we want to do the best that we can, but we also have limitations too. But from my standpoint, maybe that's a situation where, you know, an organization like Positive Pantry, which is really dedicated towards the animals, can bridge the gap if programs and families are taken care of with this program from Meals on Wheels. Morgan, how many Meals on Wheels chapters are out there? And if there is a Meals on Wheels chapter in my community, how could I ensure that they're taking advantage of this program?
That's a great question. Across the United States, there are roughly 5,000 community-based organizations providing Meals on Wheels services. If you are interested in looking for your local Meals on Wheels provider, you can go to Google and search Meals on Wheels Find Meals. I also have a URL, which I will say really slowly, and Stacey, I promise I'll send this to you so we can push this out as well, but mealsonwheelsamerica.org/find-meals will take you to a page that will ask you to enter your zip code, and it will populate the closest Meals on Wheels providers to you with phone numbers and websites. So if you're interested in learning more about them or reaching out to them, possibly to see, one, if they provide pet services, or two, if they don't and you're maybe able to help or just want to talk to them about that, that's a great resource to really reach out and find the program closest to you.
And then if you happen to be a volunteer for one of these organizations and you don't think that they are providing pet food, is there a way for us to advocate for adding pet food? I mean, I understand some organizations, they're just limited, right? But I want to make sure that they've all made a conscious decision to either include or not include as a choice, not knowing that it's not available.
That's a great question. There are quite often so many resources that exist, whether that is the Meals on Wheels Loves Pets grant program, and we do provide grants to Meals on Wheels members once a year. PetSmart Charities also has several national wonderful programs, which Stacey, I know you and I were talking about with Feeding America, Greater Good Charities. And then we also have seen so many examples of really phenomenal pet food drives with local dog parks, local grocery stores, fire departments, like really just programs have done such a good job of utilizing the resources that exist in their community to create options for pet food procurement. So we can always provide more examples of that, but it has been done. And I know that we can provide so many examples of how to make it easy. So you can always connect with me or again, visit that website and start from there.
Mark your calendar. It's happening this Saturday. Join us this Saturday to learn the art of trap neuter return, a powerful way to transform the lives of community cats. Brought to you by Community Cats Podcast and Neighborhood Cats. This session is for anyone who wants to turn their passion for cats into action. Whether you're a seasoned caretaker or just starting out, there's something for everyone to learn. Don't wait. Reserve your spot now at communitycatspodcast.com/gettnrcertified. In a recent study, 97% of respondents said that pets are family. Communities can play a vital role in helping to keep families together, whether it's reuniting lost pets with their owners, donating pet supplies or funds for pet owners in need, or offering short or long-term fostering. People can help keep pets and their people together. We just have to show them how. Did you know there are resources you can use to help bring attention to the programs you offer to help them do just that? From public service announcements, short videos, printable posters, online and social graphics, and much more. Find your resources at www.petsandpeopletogether.org/campaign-resources. #BeAHelper. Tomahawk Live Trap exceeds customers' expectations by providing them with the highest quality humane animal control products available. Check out their new Pro Series Gravity Door Trap. They feature a door that sets automatically when you open it. No hook or plate setting needed. Use discount code KEEPITHUMANE for 10% off your order at livetrap.com.
Dan, I'm going to ask you if, off the top of your head, if you have a story you'd like to share about somebody benefiting from pet food.
There's one of our clients that has a service animal that he's needed help with taking care of. And so, I mean, he has just been incredibly grateful both for the food and then the vet care that we offer in helping to keep his dog up and going. You know, there's been a lot of, we had a client who, one of our drivers took her cat in while she had to go in the hospital, and through that became really close friends. The client and the driver became even closer friends. You know, animals are a great connecting point for people, and it's been really kind of interesting to see as we've gotten more into the pet space, just to see those relationships develop and to learn a whole other side of our clients' lives that we didn't necessarily see before.
How connected are you with the animal welfare organizations, as well as like municipal organizations in your community? I mean, we all think we're kind of like off on the sides, but really we all have to work together to be impactful.
Yes, it's hard because there is some really significant resource scarcity. Particularly, we've had a real problem in our community around spay and neuter resources. And like just found out today in talking to my person that one organization has sort of scooped up all the vouchers that were available. And so they're all getting routed through that one person in that one organization now. And they're kind of keeping a, you know, it used to be that it was a free clinic on once a month. And now the access to that has been controlled. And so it's, you would like to think we could work together more than we sometimes do. At the statewide level here in Texas, we have some wonderful partners. The Texas Veterinary Medical Foundation has been an incredible resource for programs across Texas because they provide access to that vet care at no cost to us. So we're able to provide that vet care through partnership with them, but it's no cost to our programs. And so we're able to put our resources into the food and into other things. And that's been incredibly helpful.
Well, that's great. I know the access to care has been challenging. There's like veterinary service deserts out there. We have a veterinary shortage. If folks are interested in finding out about low-cost spay neuter in their communities, the United Spay Alliance has an interactive map that links you to the database to all the available spay neuter resources all around the country. We actually have a listing in there too for pet food pantries for another component that we're building out in that database at the United Spay Alliance. So that's unitedspayalliance.org. Morgan, what do you aspire for this program? I mean, is this going to be ongoing, hopefully, for a long period of time? Is Meals on Wheels America really committed to supporting pets across the country?
That's a great question. I know through our work over the last several years, we've just seen how much interest there is in this programming because of how successful I know that we've seen it is. I mean, 97% of Meals on Wheels clients say that this type of programming does help them keep their pets. So it is really impactful, and we're so grateful for that. across the network, about 44% of Meals on Wheels programs offer these services. So in my perfect vision, we'd get that number to 100%, and I'm working on that every day. But I think that would be the ultimate goal. I also think programs who are offering pet food right now as delivery, again, with their meal service or outside of it, continuing to grow that. So growing those access to veterinary care partnerships, providing that critical emergency boarding service too. I know that can be challenging to add on to something where you're already doing that. So as much as we can continue to grow that work, even for folks who are already doing it, I think that's a huge priority of ours as well.
Very interesting. Very cool. Morgan, if I was part of a small rescue or a trap, neuter, return organization that involves cats, you know, how would you recommend we help advance the work that you're trying to do?
So two small points on that. I think these organizations, human services and animal welfare organizations, are always serving the same community. And oftentimes, animal welfare organizations who may be offering these services, homebound seniors may not be a population that is easy for them to access. So I think this is huge in a way of just making that connection and talking with a human services provider, a Meals on Wheels program, to say, how can we get together and partner? You know, Meals on Wheels providers know we're not animal welfare experts, and I don't think that is ever the intention. So where that expertise and that support, and even just having a partner to bounce ideas off of, I know can be extremely helpful. And I also know that in our work to help Meals on Wheels providers develop these partnerships, the intention is for this always to be a two-way street. I hear of so many examples where Meals on Wheels providers do a large pet food drive, and maybe they can't intake 20-pound bags of pet food or larger. So they're the first ones to call their animal welfare partner and say, hey, we have all this extra pet food. Can we bring it to you? So there's always that intention to make sure that both parties are benefiting from that. But I think where there are animal welfare organizations or rescues, or really anybody listening today who are maybe wanting to make a connection, I think just that simple outreach and kind of extending the hand of, we're here, we're in your community, we want to help, I think is just a really critical first step to getting that momentum going.
Dan, what are the challenges that you are facing on the local level with regards to families in general that you serve, as well as the families with pets? What does it look like? Are we dealing with an affordability crisis?
Definitely the affordability of across the board is something that we are really seeing. And as I was sharing, I don't remember if it was earlier here or before, you know, we're not based on economic means testing for eligibility. And so the problem is a lot of our services are really based on, you know, someone's condition and their ability and their instrumental activities of daily living. And so the affordability, while it's a real issue, is not sort of the entry into the door. And so it's just, there's definitely an affordability crisis, you know, and that really plays into, I think more and more of our clients are open, like I was talking earlier, are open now to receiving assistance just because their dollar's not stretching as far as it used to. And so it's made them more willing to accept the help that the pet program is able to provide.
How do you find your clients? So if they're all sort of in their homes, I mean, is it struck through a Council on Aging specific outreach program?
No, it's really through, I think, partly people don't know we're here till they or someone they know needs it. COVID and our county had a daily press briefing that they did, and we were kind of foregrounded, and that kind of attention helped bring awareness that we were here and the services we offered in a way that hadn't been for quite a while. So there's definitely that awareness piece is something, but people find us kind of when they get to that point of needing us and get a referral, whether that's from their doctor or from a home health agency, but there's not a really great structured way to see that.
Right. So it sounds like same with the general food banks during COVID. It was a straight line up, and then Now you've gone down, but you haven't gone down to like the 2018, 2019 levels.
Yeah, we've not gone down very much. It's been a down a little bit. Unfortunately, the funding is back now to that sort of 2019 level. There was a lot of extra funding that was available that this is like the last year of it. And so it's becoming a very challenging on a funding standpoint just across the board.
Are you seeing these types of trends, Morgan, all across the country?
Yeah, I couldn't have said it better than Dan did. I would say that's pretty common too across the national level as well.
I see it with Positive Pantry. We see it at all the organizations that we've been part of. And accessing veterinary care is one thing. Accessing affordable veterinary care is a whole nother ball of wax to be discussed. There's just so many factors that, you know, if someone can get their pet food through Meals on Wheels, I always say, save that money, put it in the coffee can.
Yep.
Because even if you can find affordable spay neuter, there's going to be some emergency vet care somewhere down the line. And when you go into an emergency clinic, you basically breathe the air and it's $200 to $400, right? Walking through the door. So if you can find support at any point along the lifespan of your loving pet that you want to be able to take care of, I say utilize those resources, but make sure you're saving, because there are some times where that emergency vet care is, you're not going to be able to find somebody to help support that. I mean, there are programs that will help, but it's not guaranteed. It's never guaranteed. So have a rainy day fund. It's something like a statistic of 60% of households could not afford a $400 emergency expense. And we're talking our pets, a lot about our children, or lose our housing. We just had this past summer, you know, we had another flooding event up here in Vermont. And so many people have been interviewed and they're just like, I don't know what I'm going to do. This is expensive. We just did it in 2023 when there was flooding in July also in Vermont. And it's a repeat. And there's only so much we can handle from that standpoint. And I'm sure it's a conversation you have probably almost on a daily basis, Dan, with some of your clients and the volunteers that talk with the clients. I would assume these are similar stories.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely is.
I just had a quote I wanted to share just exactly with what we're talking about. This was shared by the Council on Aging of Central Oregon in Bend, Oregon. And I think this quote is something I think about almost on a daily basis because it just drives home the issue. But this particular client, I will read the quote just to make sure that I articulate what they said. Food prices are killing us. They cut our food stamps and then cut them again after the pandemic. If it wasn't for Pet Pals, which is this particular provider's pet program, I don't know how I would be able to make it because I can't make it on $150 a month. I don't buy fruit, don't buy vegetables, and I definitely don't buy red meat so that I can afford his cat litter. That's where the elderly and others are in these times. So I think that is something I just wanted to share, but is exactly the point you were saying.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, then we didn't even talk about cat litter, which is heavy to carry.
Yes,
but it can be costly, but it's critical. I mean, it's critical. We encourage folks to keep their cats indoors, and it's a huge challenge to be able to provide that as a resource. And most of our programs, we provide only dry cat food, but as people's cats get older, wet cat food and wet dog food are also high ticket items. And we need to provide a good diet or else the pets are going to get these medical issues that are more expensive and can be complicated. So again, we're all kind of trapped in this spinning wheel of just trying to do the best we can for everybody, but it's really hard, but it is efficient. The Meals on Wheels process is very efficient. And I love having common delivery systems. I also like having common points of contact so that there are people that are familiar with the clients, familiar with the homes. There's a relationship. If there's trouble there and assistance needs to be brought in, there's a trusted source rather than animal welfare group storming into the house to get the pet, right? It's more comfortable. It's a relationship that's been built over time. I know aging is not easy. It's something we face with quite a few challenges, but I'm very fascinated by it because I think it's so critically important that we allow our families to have pets in the community. Morgan, I know you mentioned the website earlier, but just can you repeat again, if folks are interested in finding out more about Meals on Wheels America, how would they do that?
Yes, absolutely. So to find your local program or providers near you, Meals on Wheels providers, you can either Google Meals on Wheels, find meals, so those five words, or you can also go to mealsonwheelsamerica.org/find-meals.
And Dan, if there are folks listening in that are in the Texas area or folks that are just interested in finding out more about your program, how would they do that?
That would be www.mowstx.org.
Very easy.
And then they can go to the Meals on Wheels Texas website, and there's also a Find Meals there that will direct them towards a program specific in Texas.
Excellent. Dan, any last thoughts for our listeners today?
It's been a real privilege for us to be able to have this entry, additional entry into the lives of our clients and to help take care of their trusted companions and their real family members. And so it's just been a really great journey we've been on for 4 years, and it's been great to have the assistance of both PetSmart Charities and Meals on Wheels America to help support that work as we've been into it. One of the things that we didn't really touch on here, but I know PetSmart Charities, I was there when PetSmart Charities was starting to get involved with Meals on Wheels America, and just that at the time, one of the largest reasons for abandonment at shelters was seniors not able to take care of their pets. And so this just really helps tamp down that pipeline into the shelters. There's enough others that are happening. So it's just really great to be able to be a part of stopping that flow.
Excellent. Morgan, you want to close us out today? Any last thoughts?
I would love to actually give huge kudos to Dan. We were really fortunate to be able to visit Meals on Wheels South Texas last summer, and their office and space is just one of the most vibrant, warm, colorful, welcome places you can go. And we were able to see the partnerships that they had developed, the relationships that they had with their clients. So in Victoria, Texas and beyond, they've just done a really phenomenal job. And it was one of my favorite experiences getting to visit them. So big kudos to their team.
Nice job, Dan. Got a gold star for today. So nice job. I want to thank you both for joining me today on the Community Cats podcast. And I hope we'll have you on again in the future.
Thank you.
Thanks for the opportunity.
That's it for this week. Please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a review. We love to hear what you think, and a 5-star review really helps others find the show. You can also join the conversation with listeners, cat caretakers, and me on Facebook and Instagram. And don't forget to hit follow or subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, YouTube, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss a single show. Thanks for listening, and thank you for everything that you do to help create a safe and healthy world for cats.